You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Greetings, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith.
How are you?
I'm great because of all the wonderful new music out now. And coming up today, we've got Must Hear Music with Billboard.com senior editor Joe Lynch to talk all about it.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we have a very pop-heavy Must Hear Music. Joe and the team will be chatting about new music from Camila Cabello, Liam Payne, and more.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. You know, I think it's really interesting how Camila sort of has introduced herself as a solo artist, you know, after, you know, kind of while she was with Fifth Harmony,
mm-hmm.
with collaborations. She had the Shawn Mendes collaboration, I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was like a little over a year ago. And then she had Bad Things with MGK.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Love Incredible with Cashmere Cat, which I forgot all about until I was researching.
Great song.
And then Hey Ma with Pitbull and J Balvin. Like, how smart was that of her?
Super smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is one leg up to come from a famous group and have that name recognition already. But when you're one among five, she truly separated herself from the pack early on with that Shawn Mendes duet. And it obviously all was leading to this moment.
It was clearly by design.
Indeed.
Well, I look forward to hearing all about Camila and Liam and everyone else on Must Hear Music.
And now, here is Must Hear Music.
Hello, and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Lindsay Havens.
Hi.
And so we've got some good stuff coming up this week. We have Camila Cabello debut solo single we're going to talk about. We have another, so she's a girl group alum. We have a boy band veteran, Liam Payne, his debut solo song.
Yeah.
Payno did a stripper anthem with Quavo from Migos. So that is interesting.
Well, I can dispute that, but we'll get to that in a second.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. And what else? We're talking about local natives.
Yep.
And a great, great new Selena Gomez song.
Yep.
And then what was the other
Lincoln,
one?
Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln Park. How could I forget Lincoln Park?
Parks.
So we're going to talk about Little LP.
Little LP.
All right, but let's start with...
Well, let's start, Joe, by telling everyone to subscribe...
Sure.
On iTunes to Must Hear Music as
subscribe
well as Pop Shop.
To Pop Shop, Must Hear
Give
Music.
Give us a rating. I feel like we need more reviews.
I'd
Come
like
on.
Personal feedback.
Yeah, I want only feedback on how great Lindsay is. Like, if you don't have that, don't
say
write.
Nothing.
That's a tall order.
Right I know, there. So we're going to get no comments. But,
but I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we'll read some of the best reviews.
Yeah, review us.
Review
please.
Us all day.
go there and be like, just drag us. Just
drag
like,
us.
Drag us for filth, please.
Anyway.
All right. Let's talk about, since you apparently have a fight brewing, let's talk about the Liam Payne featuring Quavo song.
No, I don't. It's not a fight because, well, very quickly. So Liam was in our office a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And he said that it was funny because the song's called Strip That Down. Mm-hmm. And he said that when he brought it to like Disney, like Radio Disney, mm-hmm. they were like, we're not going to play this. And he said he tried to convince them by being like, no, it's not. If you read the, it's about stripping down my sound. Like, I, you know, stripped down sound. And he was like, they weren't buying it. But.
Liam,
but
sorry.
You never know.
Anyway, so yeah, so this is the last One Direction man. They're no longer boys, they are men, to release a debut solo single, and he's got Quavo on it from Migos. It's called Strip That Down. It is kind of, if you would hear a song title named Strip That Down, you'd be like, oh, it might be like a kind of trap-influenced strippers anthem, and that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
That is a pretty hard left turn from the One Direction sound. I think, and God, this is kind of a weak endorsement to start the podcast with. I'm not going to say it's incredible, but I think Liam acquits himself nicely in this song. I think sure. he like sells it surprisingly well. And yeah. I think the song is better than it really has any right to be. Like it has, I'm getting like strong Timberlake, Timbaland vibes on
yeah,
the chorus.
Too.
It has kind of like the like kind of what Timberlake does, like the rapid rising and falling vocals where he kind of like smushes a lot of syllables together. And I think Liam does it well. I mean, you know, this isn't gonna God, it's tough. I could see this having some life on the radio.
Yep.
It's not gonna be a top 10 hit though. Or if it is, it'll like hit the top 10 and then immediately drop. Like this isn't gonna be a smash, but I could see this getting some consistent play.
It'll be interesting to see. I like it. I think that it's a fun song, and honestly, man, like just listening to this song made me realize how serious the other One Direction members' projects have been so far. Like, if you think about Zayn, mm-hmm. Harry, and Niall, like they're all like they're clearly like we've had a lot of years in a boy band, like
yep.
making wacky videos together and running on a beach and singing about hair flips getting us overwhelmed.
Which honestly,
boys
I really
being
miss.
Boys
being boys.
The best
that
moment
would be
was
a great
this
One Direction album title: Boys Being Boys. But I feel like, you know, when you look at Harry, who we've talked about on the show, I think, last week, Zayn especially. Zayn is like, don't crack a smile, like, smolder as much as mm-hmm. possible. And then Niall is a little bit lighter, but still in the kind of like the serious singer-songwriter vibe. You know mm-hmm. what? Liam put out a song called Strip That Down with a Quavo verse. Like, that's great. Like, you know, it's not the most, you know, impactful song that I've heard. Maybe even this week, but it's he's doing his thing, and I appreciate that he's having a little bit of fun with it. And he played some more music, and I can just say that he's trying out a bunch of different things, and I kind of appreciate that. I know that it's nice to devote oneself to one sound, and I love the Harry record, and I like how clear his vision is. But I also kind of can appreciate Liam trying a couple different approaches and seeing which one sticks before actually like committing to one. So yeah,
what did you think, Lindsay, about you can't shrug. I can't, if you ask,
this is a podcast,
you can't shrug on a podcast. I'm gonna need some words.
I wrote down the lyric, I used to be in 1D, now I'm out free, because I was like, ooh,
yeah,
whoa,
yeah.
Like that's really how he feels. He's been pretty honest lately, because yesterday he also came out and said he's not a Harry Styles fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, sure, have that opinion, but
send him.
To share it with the world.
Can I butt
in?
That story got a little bit
Liam's
only defense,
read headlines.
Yeah.
So I'm part of the problem.
The headlines have 100% been he's not a Harry Styles. He's the quote was like, the album wasn't for me, but it's clearly like a labor of love. Like that was and it's
Yeah, everyone's like, he's a Harry Styles hater.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for, like, you know, as a guy who met Liam.
You're good
kind
buddy.
Of a
as a guy who's he's basically my best friend now. No, but like, man, that just must, like, if Joe dropped an album
mm-hmm.
full of like, what would a Joe album
crying
be?
Crying songs.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely like crying songs. I'd be like, it's not for me, but he loves crying.
Mm-hmm. And then I would feel the headlines. If we were friends or in a boy band together and you said that, I would be like, come on, Jason.
It's for you.
Well, but if it was an album full of crying songs, it might not be for me. But then the headlines would all be Jason hates Joe.
Yeah, but like, I have to say, then for this song to drop today with that lyric, it's kind of like, he does have some pretty strong feelings of negativity. Like, to say you're free, I get it. Like, maybe I'm reading into it too much.
Yeah.
It's just like a strong sentence to come out saying.
True. That's very true.
So.
I think you're right that there's that element where it is like a pretty strong sentiment, but I also took it like there's a goofiness about it too that you don't get from the other One Direction guys. Like I think any time in a song like someone refers to themselves or like their band, there's something kind of just that makes me like smirk at it. So like,
well, right,
when you're like, I used to be in 1D, it's almost like breaking the fourth wall or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it just, there's a like goofiness about it that it was like, he's just like kind of, he's just having a laugh, as they would say in Britain. Yeah, it's an odd song. I think it's good. I think the voice raise good. It's good. All right, let's just listen to it and let you be the judge. It's Liam Payne featuring Quavo, Strip That Down. When I walk inside the party, girls on me. F1 type Ferrari, 6 skin speed. Girl, I love it when your body grinds on me, baby. You know I love it when the music's loud, but come on, strip that down for me, baby. Now there's a lot of people in the crowd, but only you can dance with me. So put your hands on my body and swing that round for me, baby. All right, that was Liam Payne, Jason's new and closest friend.
BFF, and shout out to Liam.
Let's talk about another group member to go solo. Camila Cabello, Billboard cover star a couple months back. Yeah. She has her... Bad Things, which she did with MGK, obviously it was a big smash, but that was his song. Was she featured, or was it an and?
Yeah, I think it was featuring.
Yeah, I think it was a few. Anyways, so this is her debut solo single, and it's called Crying in the Club.
Crying in the Club.
So, what, Jason, talk about it. What do you think about it?
I think that image is really funny, by the way. just being
it
on
sounds
a
very
tour.
Robin.
It sounds like yeah. This would be your album, Crying in the Club.
Honestly, it really would be. Yeah.
When I first heard this song, I was like, this is gonna be a huge hit. It just kind of has that vibe of what's working on Top 40 Radio today. The intro sounds a little Shape of You.
Yes, very.
And then obviously it samples or interpolates the Genie in a Bottle, and that's really fun. It's co-written by Sia, and I don't think. I wrote a little something today on it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the main thing is establishing herself enough. You kind of got a sense of her, of what Camila was trying to do with Bad Things and I Know What You Did Last Summer, mm-hmm. and the song with J Balvin and Pitbull.
Right.
But yeah, I think that this is kind of her carving out, hey, I'm going to be a major player in, you know, modern pop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not groundbreaking, but it's very catchy, and I think it works to what she wants to accomplish. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting. So it's written by Sia.
Yes,
and it's very, like, you're totally right. The beginning sounds very Ed Sheeran, Shape of You, and then I feel like the melody and kind of like the cadence are very Sia-esque.
100%.
And I think that just kind of speaks what you're saying. Like, she wants like to be a top 40 player, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is not to say there's not authenticity to it, but like, there's clearly a goal. Like, I want to be an established, like, I want to be on the radio. I want to be like, you know,
yeah,
whatever, etc. Totally. What do you think about it, Lindsay?
Actually, I really do like this song, but I think it's because I'm a huge Sia fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came on my Spotify, I honestly thought it was Sia. So then I obviously noticed who the artist singing mm-hmm. was. But I guess I'm a little bummed out that she didn't do more to distinguish her vocals.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds so much like Sia in terms of the harmonies and
a
like the
bit.
Vocal
yeah.
cracks. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I expected a little bit more. It also
it's your first date. It's a little single.
I know.
Though.
I have high standards for her. Mm-hmm. The title made me think of the Bebe Rexha song "No Broken Hearts in the Club."
Oh yeah,
which could be like a whole side thing. Like, why are girls so sad in the club?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on,
Lindsay? Answer the question.
I don't know.
Lindsay.
But that's where my mind.
That's hilarious. I didn't think about that. Yeah, no broken hearts in the club. What's going on in the
What's
club?
What's going on in these clubs? Yeah.
I think that you're totally right, and I think that this is, you know, maybe her album takes some chances on it, but it this is the obvious single to me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is designed as a big pop look, and I think it succeeds in that.
Listen to it, and then I have a note, a little note I want to make about note. It. Ooh. So, Camila Cabello's song is Crying in the Club.
That's a lie that you tell yourself. You fear that you live on forever now. It ain't true, ain't true, ain't true. Nah. So put your arms around me tonight, let the music lift you.
All right, that was Camila Cabello's debut solo single.
Oh, yeah.
So what I wanted to mention, I feel like this comes in waves, and I feel like right now we're in the midst of this wave where so many songs are just, and it's not always bad, but it's very safe. They're, like, kind of using as a crutch, like, taking an established, you know, existing beloved song, and then, like, mm-hmm. basically using it in a new composition, so... Like, this song, as we said, interpolates Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle. So the first time you hear it, even if you've never, you know, it's the first time you've heard this song, it's still familiar because you know that. You like that song. It's been proven that audiences like that song. We're hearing that, although I guess it was probably accidental, but Ed Sheeran's Shape of You interpolated No Scrubs. One of the songs we're going to get to in a second, Selena Gomez's new song. Is based on Talking Heads' Psycho Killer.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other Camila song.
Things.
Is the melody from Fastballs.
Yeah.
So, like, what is up with, like, it just...
Where's the originality?
Right? I feel like I'm, like, an old...
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Grandpa Joe says, come up with your own ideas, kids.
A little bit, though. I mean, like, it's just... There's a lot of that going on. I feel like we're in a period. Yeah. And I'm not against it, but after a while, it is kind of like, all right, like, come up with something different.
What's interesting is that hip-hop has kind of moved completely away from that.
Right. And for a long... Especially with, like, Kanye, for a long time, that was, like, the go-to. And now, like... It's just not. It's not part of hip hop.
And like Puff Daddy, like
of course,
There's been a couple revivals of that, but yeah, in terms of now, I guess you could say Drake's does it sometimes, but he more flips a song that's recent, like Hotline Bling. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
cool,
accurate. Okay, well, now that I mentioned it, let's talk about the Selena Gomez song. So it is called Bad Liar. It is so good. And I like I'm a fair weather Selena Gomez fan, admittedly. Like I would never drag her, but like, you know, if she has a song I don't like, I'm not going to stand for it. Like, I'll just be like, I'll just let it go. I'm not going to defend it when someone slags it. You know, whereas you guys know I'm a Madonna freak. If someone says something ill of Madonna, I'm going to bend over backwards, going to lengths to explain why Rebel Heart didn't have a weak track. I am not that way with Selena Gomez. I am, however, absolutely in love with this song. I feel like she's had sporadically, like, maybe every other year has had a great, one of those songs where I'm like, oh, this is one of the best pop songs of the year. And this is, to me, this is that easily. Like,
yeah.
So it borrows from the Talking Heads' very sparse, bass-heavy Psycho Killer, which is interesting, and... the style, she's like barely singing it. It's kind of more of like a sing-speak thing, which was kind of popular in like 80s like folk music and experimental rock. I kind of doubt she's like drawing on this.
Yeah.
But specifically like Suzanne Vega and Laurie Anderson in the 80s did a lot with kind of like, it's not speak singing, but it's basically like that. There's a strange cadence to it, and that's kind of what she's doing here. And I think it just works, and it sounds so fresh, even though it is using kind of an existing song. There's something just so fresh about it. It's just, there's nothing like this on radio right now.
I'm trying to think of, like, other indie artists that she could be a huge fan of that do, like, the speak singing, but, like, Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
And,
Gil Scott-Heron.
Yeah, exactly. It's I'm still laughing because you said something that sounds like the quintessential like fan army member tweet. Like you were like, I wouldn't drag her, but I'm not gonna stand for every song.
That was very internet.
It was good. Yeah, it was very good.
I'm spending way too much time on the internet. I'm just babbling tweets basically.
Lindsay, what do you think of this song?
I really do like this song. I'm a pretty big Selena Gomez fan, not intentionally. I just happened to...
stumbled into her
fandom. Yeah, it's not like I'm a fan of like her or anything. It's just I happen to like all the music she puts out, mm-hmm. even dating back to when she had The Scene with her.
Oh. Yeah, those are pretty good songs.
Three albums.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Still don't know what happened to those guys. But, yeah, I think this is a great song. I actually really do like that she is singing. And my favorite part... when, like, her voice kind of cracks, it's, for those at home, the 2:38 mark, she says, oh, baby, and it's, like, this raw vocal for a minute, which is really sort of different for her because she does, like, crisp power ballads almost in the past.
Yeah.
So I like where she's headed.
Yeah, I'm all in on Bad Liar.
Yeah, you were going crazy on Twitter for this song, weren't you?
I was not going crazy. I'm just, like... I'm so fascinated, and this is what I said. I'm so fascinated by Selena Gomez because, you know, her whole point over the past 2 years, I would say, is that she's really figured out how to use her voice because mm-hmm. she obviously is not a belter. She's not like a
She's not going to star in Wicked.
Yeah, and she couldn't do like a million reasons kind of song, even though mm-hmm. she does some kind of
and
ballad.
The world is clamoring for more Million Reasons.
Yeah,
the world is just like, oh, what if please she did give Illusion? Us more.
Oh my God. Anyway, but she's figured out this kind of speak singing delivery and the production to match it, mm-hmm. and you know, I really like. The tone that this song gives off in terms of, you know, infatuation, it really does kind of capture yeah. of mm-hmm. feeling. And it's so fascinating to me because back in a couple years ago when she was in her whole Stars Dance thing, I was out on Selena Gomez because I just was like, she kind of is making music that anybody could do. You think of a song like Slow Down or like Come and Get It. Like, mm-hmm. they're not...
I love that song.
Some of the songs actually are do work, but not really because of anything she's adding. But then she got to this point where I think, like, do you guys remember the song The Heart Wants What It Wants?
Yes, mm-hmm. of course.
It was a really, like, a sneaky, brilliant song.
It was very
song.
Good, yeah.
And the way – I think she really figured something out where then you have Revival and a song like Hands to Myself.
Great song.
And Good for You. And she's just completely kind of stripping down the production and the way that she's approaching the verses and she's changing it up on the choruses. Like, I'm so fascinated by what Selena Gomez is doing. And this is kind of the natural evolution. I think this is definitely her high point. Like, I listened to the song a bunch of times, and I was like, this is better than any Selena Gomez song that
I've
heard.
I think you might be right. I know it's very early to say this, but, like, the first time I heard it, I listened to it, like, five times in a row.
And it's
I
couldn't stop. And it's so interesting. I mean, if you go back to the Camila song, I wouldn't call the Camila song, like, an interesting song in some of the choices that it makes production-wise and her vocal approach.
It's suited for repeated radio plays.
Right, yeah. But Bad Liar is just, like, you don't expect it to make some of the choices that it makes. Like that kind of crack on the bridge.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I've gone back to that part. Like, as I'm listening to it, it's like, I want 2:38.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, just
yeah,
captures
no.
you.
Yeah, it's Bad Liar. Good for Selena. That's kind of my thing, is because she's this huge star. She didn't need to. She could have made a million slowdowns and mm-hmm. she would have been fine. But I think that she's actually getting more success, and kind of the one area that she hasn't really mastered is like Grammys and like critical acclaim. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's kind of like headed toward that space. So
I think you're right. I do think. Also, I mean, we've been saying this. I think there's, you know, at some point there's going to be, like, we're going to look back on, like, 10 years of Selena Gomez songs. And I think we're going to be, like, wait, she was like one of the best all along and we just never appreciated it. I think like when you winnow it down to like the singles or like some of the highlights, I think it's she's a lot better than people give credit for. You are looking
Jason
suspicious.
Looks ill.
No, I mean, look, I disagree with that, but I think that she's getting there and she's figuring out her lane in a way that's really impressive to me. But yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. It is Bad Liar by Selena Gomez.
You're touched like a happy pill, but still all we do is fear. What could possibly happen next? Can we focus on the love? Paint my kiss across your chest. If you're the art, I'll be the brush. Ooh, you're taking up a fraction of my mind.
All right, that was new Selena Gomez. Let's talk about, so Lindsay,
yes,
you have a local native song, and if I'm not mistaken, isn't this the second local native song you've brought to this podcast?
Yep. Seventh local native song, I believe.
They're actually just putting them out so I can talk about them on the podcast.
Right. And I already forgot what it's called. So,
it's called
wait,
The Only Heirs.
Okay, The Only Heirs. Great.
Yeah, good job. Yep. Yeah, so again, I sort of did mention a lot of what I feel like I'm about to say the first time I talked about them. But I'm just very impressed to see an indie rock band adopt to this like single streaming era in ways that, mm-hmm, I haven't really before. I feel like with hip hop and pop, it makes a lot of sense to just like throw a bunch of singles out as often as you want. Mm-hmm. But I, tell me if you guys disagree. I see it less often with indie rock artists.
That's definitely true.
I feel like they stick to the format the most of like album, tour, go away for a while.
I think that's true. And I think a lot of them are like more hung up on the idea of an album.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's always, like, I get it. I love the album. Like, I love the ideas of an album as an art form. But I mean, I don't know. Like, a lot of times you listen to an album and you're like, this is just a collection of songs, like, of good songs. Like, it's not, it doesn't, like, if you just divided this.
This is simply a collection of good songs.
I feel like there are a lot of indie bands where, like honestly, if you just, you were like, if these 10 songs have been released over 12 months, like, it wouldn't make much of a difference, you know? Like, and I think, sure. I agree with you. I think there's something to be said, like, maybe this is a more effective strategy.
I think so. I mean, because for me, I've always wanted them to sort of be bigger than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this might help with that. Just like a little reminder every once in a while, like, hey, we're a good band. You should listen to us.
Yeah.
And like obviously putting out new material helps a lot. This is also their biggest feature with Nico Segal, who worked with Chance the Rapper,
mm-hmm,
formerly known as Donnie Trumpet.
Mm.
I love
Donnie Trumpet.
I really do like this song, not just because of my fandom for them, but I think it's a great song, and it sort of builds on, like, their biggest song off the album, their most recent one was Fountain of Youth, which was, like, their political call to action,
mm-hmm,
and this sort of builds on that. So I like where they're headed.
There you go.
What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I thought this was okay, and I'm sorry, Lindsay.
It's okay.
Lindsay's gonna, like,
hurt.
Jump across the table. I like local names. Like when we talked about them before, I'm blanking on the name of the previous song.
I saw you close your eyes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The close your eyes song.
Yeah. That weird rollout.
I liked that. I liked what they were trying to say with that song a little bit more than this song. This song got a little bit lost in my attention kind of wandered as the song was building up. So, I mean, I think that I'm curious as to, like, what else they have coming, because maybe this one just didn't connect with me, but after a couple listens, I was not in. I'm sorry, Lindsay.
It's totally, I like it enough for the both of us.
Yes, that is 100% true.
I liked it. I think it's kind of like that sparkly, like, indie rock that you hear at festivals a lot. And, you know, it's not, I think they do, and the production is beautiful on it, and I think the song is strong, so I'll give you a thumbs up.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's listen to it. Local Natives, The Only Heirs.
Yeah.
next and never last, or never least, rather, Linkin Park, Jason's go-to band, has a new album out.
Jason's go-to band. I love that. Yeah, One More Light.
Yeah, One More Light, right, is the name of the album?
Yeah.
And are we going to talk about just the whole yeah, work?
Yeah, we can talk about the whole thing.
So talk about it.
Let's talk about every single song. No, I...
It's a very different album.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to them since, like, Hybrid Theory,
yeah,
you are going to be, I would say, shocked, honestly, by, yeah, like, how this album sounds.
It's crazy, man. And you know what? If you haven't heard, and it might be the number one album next week. So people are checking it out, mm-hmm, man. But obviously a very experimental project, kind of coming off of some of their heavier albums, mm-hmm, over the past couple years. And yeah, they have kind of swerved into a more pop and sunnier mode. And dabbling with more, like, there's a song with Pusha T and Stormzy on it,
mm-hmm,
which was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, they made a song just for me. I love it. Wow. But yeah, I just think that, you know, it's an uneven album to me, but I really admire them for making an album like this. I think that you get to a point in your career which is like, yeah, you know, like, these songs, you know, just doing what we're doing and gonna tour. And but yeah, no, they took a risk. Like, this is, mm-hmm, what I'm talking about. I appreciate when artists, especially artists that have been around for 15 plus years, step outside their comfort zone. And Linkin Park, you know, we kind of chuckle at them, but they've sold 27 million albums. Like, for a story in Billboard magazine this week, I checked that. I was like, I had to triple check it because that's freaking
worldwide,
crazy.
Or
in the U.S.
Wow, that's, yeah, crazy. That, yeah, is a lot.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this, but, like, and I admittedly, like, I'm not, like, a big Linkin Park fan,
yeah,
but
yet,
and they yet, I agree that I think they get, like, way, like, an unfair critical dropping. I think they're, like, regarded as kind of a punchline by,
yeah,
I would say, more like the music snob, you know, kind of elitist crowd, yeah, but, like, realistically, like, you're talking, like, turn of the millennium rock. Like, what has proved more influential, you know, like, what Linkin Park was doing, or, like, you know, what the Strokes and the White Stripes, yeah, are doing? And yeah, admittedly, I was more of a White Stripes Strokes
same,
guy,
same,
yep,
but, you know, really, like, they were just kind of rehashing older forms, and people kind of, you know, where you go from that, like, people didn't pick that up and run with it. And Linkin Park has, like, spawned a lot of, you know, imitators or people who just kind of took that. You know, they were good with soundscapes, and I think a lot of people picked up on that,
yeah,
and learned from it.
I was laughing in my head because Joe said he was more into, like, the White Stripes than Linkin Park, and I was just thinking of Lindsay, like, I disagree, actually. The,
yeah,
world's biggest White Stripes fan. But no, I what did you think? What did you think of this?
I can't get behind this album.
No!
I'm so sorry. It
One
confuses me beyond belief. Like, first of all, I just think there's already enough of everything they're putting into this album, like, enough of whatever sort of music this qualifies as. Sorry, this is more harsh than I intended.
I love it.
I don't know, they're just really, like, throwing a lot out there, and the album doesn't really flow that well to me. Happy to see Stormzy on that track. His part is actually really good.
I just want to make everybody more bigger Stormzy fans. That's really my
number
one.
Maybe this will help.
That's my number one mission. So yeah, I mean, to go back to what Joe was saying, because I'm completely ignoring what Lindsay
yep,
said. Mm-hmm. yeah, no, I think that they've gotten overlooked in terms of, like, you know, the important, quote unquote, important rock music from, mm-hmm, the turn of the century. I think that Linkin Park has some tremendous singles in their,
yeah,
arsenal.
And I'm a huge fan of all of those, if that helps at all.
That does help.
Okay.
And I think that their production has always been really on point. I think that, and they've always gotten overlooked because of that. All of their albums sound great. And I think that this one sounds great too. I think that, I agree with Lindsay that this is more, it doesn't really flow that well. It's a little bit of a mixed bag, but, you know, a song like Heavy, which is the number, or the first single, man, that just it really connects with me, and it's just a great radio song. It's super melodramatic and a little too self-serious, but it's got a great hook, and yeah, I recommend it. I'm glad that there's a new Linkin Park album out in the world today.
My final thought.
Okay.
The closing track, the beat sounds just like Milky Chance. The indie fan in me noticed that almost immediately. Like, if you listen to Cocoon by Milky Chance and then that song, they're very similar.
I want to check those out.
Lost you waiting to happen.
Yeah.
wow. How, Lindsay, how furious are you that Jason made you listen to a start-to-finish Linkin Park album?
He was actually impressed that I listened to the whole thing.
I was,
right?
Yeah. I'm very happy.
I did, like, little clippets of the songs. I didn't listen to the full song, so.
That's fair.
But, I mean, I probably would have listened to it anyway just because I was intrigued, but now I know. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go back there.
You don't have to re-enter that place.
All right. Let's listen to some of it. So, Jason, what song do we wanna do from this new Linkin Park?
Let's just go with Heavy, man.
All right, let's go with Heavy. So, Linkin Park, Heavy from new album One More Light. I keep dragging around my spring and me down. If I just let go, I'd be set free. Hold me on. Why is everything so heavy? I know I'm not the center of the universe. You keep spinning on me just the same. Alright, that was new Linkin Park. And that's what we got for this week.
What a week.
What a week. Any parting thoughts, Jason, Lindsay? Take a sip of water. Yep. Anybody?
Just gotta hydrate real quick. Have a great week.
That's terrible.
I was caught off guard. I don't even know what's coming out next week.
Well, this is going to be after, people are going to hear this after the Billboard Music Awards.
That's true.
Cool.
Yeah. Billboard Music Awards.
A reverse tease.
I have a good idea.
What? Okay.
A good tease. Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm very ready for this.
Next week, let's do Song of the Summer.
Yes. We definitely need to do that podcast.
Let's do it.
You weren't here last year when we did that.
I know. I was not.
I know. So we do our Song of the Summer prediction podcast. And last year, let me tell you, we got it right. We said Drake, and we said...
Well, that was... Come on.
I know. It was a very easy call to make. No, this year is very exciting because there's not really a clear front runner for Song of the Summer.
Aside from Bon Appetit, you mean?
Right, of course.
BuzzFeed called it Bony Ape Tit, and I think that's the best put down of it. Aside from Bony Ape Tit, there is no clear front runner. All right. So next week, we'll talk about Song of the Summer contenders.
If people want to tweet us with what they think is Song of the Summer.
Tweet us recommendations, what you think will be Song of the Summer.
Heavy by Linkin Park, perhaps?
Heavy by Linkin Park. Maybe a local native song?
It's definitely going to be
local natives.
All right. And tweet us what you think is going to be the Song of the Summer. Review us. Say nice-ish things, I guess. And have a lovely week.
I just want all the love to Lindsay. That's all. Honestly, all I want. That's all I want. That would be great. And we'll read them on air.
I'll take it.
All right. Okay. Jason, Lindsay, thanks for joining me. And thank you so much for listening. See you next time.